Australia, Melissa Creamer on Bondi Tunes International.
This is Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting around the world, and we welcome our listeners to FM in Australia and New Zealand. I'm Henry in Sydney. And I welcome Melissa Creamer, our correspondent in Melbourne. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Thank you very much, Henry. It's lovely to be here, as always.
We're going to talk about sleep disorders. And, you know, I just want to preface this by saying people who can sleep at night, many of them don't understand why other people can't sleep at night. And also, they don't really take into account how it affects people. It's a huge issue. And there's many types of sleep disorder. And if I remember correctly, you had a name for your sleep disorder. And I think I'm just trying to find out what you said you had. In fact, why don't you tell me what you had, or what you have, I should say.
I have something called delayed sleep disorder. It means that my body or my head doesn't want to fall asleep until, you know, 5-6 in the morning, and then I have to get up and lead a normal day and start work at, you know, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock.
Yeah, and I just want to mention that I have insomnia. Would you say that you've got insomnia? Is that all part of it?
I think it's more delayed sleep disorder, because I can sleep, but I can't sleep until a ridiculous time. So then I can sleep once I'm asleep.
Yes, it's interesting, because with me, I find that I can go to sleep quite quickly, but then I wake up 2 hours later. And then another hour later, and it continues. So that's a different sort of type of sleep disorder, I guess.
Yes. So with delayed sleep disorder, from what I've been told, your circadian rhythms are out, and you need to try and fix them. It's something that's very difficult to do, especially if you've had it since you were a child or a teenager, which I have. So, yeah, it's not an easy thing to remedy unless you want to work night shifts.
Interesting idea. I mean, back in the day when I was a newsreader, I started off as a rookie doing the midnight till 6 a.m. shift, and I loved it. I loved it. But we didn't have the audience, so I eventually got promoted to prime time, breakfast and all that sort of thing. And getting up at, you know, if you're a newsreader or a broadcaster and you're on breakfast, you got to get up at like 4 in the morning. And that was really tough for me. Right. Now, you, a couple of months ago, you went and stayed overnight at a clinic. Tell me about that.
So I've been speaking to my GP, which is my general practitioner, for a number of years about my sleep issues. And we've kind of just dealt with it by giving me a Valium every so often. But I spoke to someone else who said, Melissa, I think you have a sleep disorder. So she sent me to a sleep specialist, and he said, Melissa, we're going to do a sleep study on you. And basically he wanted to find out whether I had sleep apnea or any kind of other, like, breathing or disorders. The people who generally do these sleep studies are people that have either sleep apnea, or they snore a lot and it bothers their partner, and their partner's the one that sends them to go. Now, the person that I spoke to wasn't very good, and because I live alone and I sleep alone, I wasn't able to give him any intel on how I sleep, because I don't have anyone to say, right, you seem like you've got sleep apnea. So I went into this clinic, and they hooked me up with machines and with wires. They attached them to your head and to your chest and to your legs and to your arms, and everything in the room is recorded. It was really funny, because I had this, you know, hospital attendant come in, and he's like, your hair's really nice. Did you get it done recently? And I was like, is this guy hitting on me? Because this is really uncomfortable, given that I'm going to be in this room with cameras on me all night, right?
Yeah.
But actually, what he was getting at, and he didn't really go the right way about it. He was apologizing because he had to stick this stuff to the back of my head, and it was really sticky, like putting gumption on. So it was his way of telling me that I had to wash my hair when I left in the morning, because there's no way to get this stuff out. So anyway,
Was he hot?
Oh, no, he was like a 24-year-old. I wasn't excited. Not
bit
my
young.
Type.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
Not yes. my type. Otherwise, hey, hi. What were we going to do? Everything was recorded. I could have been.
Oh, he could have been fired.
Yeah, that too. Mm. So, anyway, they hook you all up, and then if you need to go to the bathroom, you need to get them to come and assist you because you're attached to all these wires and hooks, and they put you onto something smaller so you can go and use the bathroom. And I don't usually use the bathroom that much. I never get up in the night once I'm asleep. But because I couldn't sleep, I kept getting up. And then he came to help me go to the bathroom at about 11:30. And he said, Melissa, you're really struggling to get to sleep. We might have to call this off. And I went, no, I'm here because I can't sleep. I want an actual record of what a typical night is like for me so then I can pass it on to the sleep doctor. And he's like, okay. And then I eventually fell asleep sometime after 2. And then they got a good idea of my sleep patterns because I wake up and I sleep. And then the sleep I'm getting is not deep sleep. So anyway, we had the report, and then my GP went through the report with me and said, Melissa, your sleep's really poor. Like, you'll fall asleep for 10 minutes and then you're awake for 2 hours and then you'll sleep for 10-minute increments and wake up again. But because you're sleeping for such short periods of time, it doesn't feel like you're getting any sleep. And then when you are asleep, it's very light sleep. So when you wake up in the morning, you're not feeling refreshed, which is in line with everything that you've told me. Mm. So then I went back to the sleep specialist to read the report, and he basically said, Melissa, you don't have sleep apnea or any snoring issues, so there's nothing I can do for you. And I said, I didn't come here for that. And I went to pay my bill, and I kind of got annoyed with the receptionist, not with her, but I just said, I don't know what I paid for just then. So she ended up not charging me and just putting it on our health Medicare.
Yeah, I just wanted to interrupt you for a second. It was my next question, if you have to pay for this or not. And here in Australia, if you're listening in North America, we actually have Medicare and it's free, or you do contribute to it if you're employed. If you're unemployed, it is literally free. How much did it cost, Melissa?
So, because I don't have private medical insurance, because we have Medicare and I'm a single, I went on a waiting list for the hospital for the sleep study, and they had a cancellation. They called me up and said, can you come in at 5? And I literally live on the same street as the hospital. So I was like, sure, I'll be there. So that was free and I didn't have to wait very long. The sleep specialist was $180 for a visit, and I was literally in there 5 minutes. And you get a rebate back from Medicare. But when I said to this woman, I don't know why I am paying, my GP, who didn't order the sleep study, but this guy did, and is the sleep specialist, went through my sleep study in more detail than he did. And basically he said, I can't help you, but I'll refer you to someone else. So he referred me to a sleep psychologist. And apparently the person he referred me to is the number one sleep psychologist in Melbourne, and he's the sleep doctor. So if you go to see a sleep specialist and they can't help you, they refer you to this guy, and a lot of GPs will refer you to this guy. So,
Melissa, this was at a later stage. This is separate from your overnight stay.
Yes. So after my overnight stay, when the sleep specialist said, you don't have sleep apnea, and he said, I can't do anything to help you. I need to refer you on to someone else. So then they put me in touch with a sleep psychologist, and I had my first session with him last week, and he's $260 a session.
Oh my God. Can you get no Medicare, obviously, on this one?
No, I get $130 from Medicare back.
Okay.
But to be honest, if I had to pay this guy $2,000 and my sleep was fixed, I think it's worth it. So, previous to seeing him, I went back to my doctor and I said, look, my sleep's getting bad, Valium's not working. And he had a intern with him, and the intern said, why don't you try her on Seroquel? Now, Seroquel is a drug that they give to schizophrenics and people that suffer from psychotic disorders. Now, a schizophrenic would have 90 milligrams, I'm told. Don't quote me on that because I'm not a physician. I was given a 25 milligram tablet. The sleep psychologist in a conversation I had with him said, start on those to see if we can fix your circadian rhythms and get you, you know, like it's kind of like potty training. You know, we've got to train you to go to bed at a usual hour. And they told me to take half a pill. Well, I took half a pill at 10 p.m. I was in bed by 11. And while I woke up in the morning, I tried to send some emails off, but I had to go back to bed. And then I ended up cancelling some meetings I had because I wasn't assured that I could get behind the wheel of a car and drive.
Gosh.
Because that knocked out.
Yeah, I mean, it does affect your job, obviously. You know, like me, you're a sales rep. You know, our jobs are very, very high maintenance, high energy jobs. And, you know, when I don't have enough sleep, I'm pretty much useless. I just can't operate without sleep. And both my jobs, this job that I'm doing now on radio, it requires me to be switched on. And my sales job, I sell wine on the phone. Also requires me to be switched on, but it also requires me to be happy. And this is a big deal, you know, like if you can't, I can't do it. Do you ever find that, you know, when you can't sleep at night and you have to start at 9 in the morning, can you perform okay? Can you wing it?
I just get comments from people. During COVID, when we first started working from home, the company that I was working for made us do meetings twice a week at 8:30 in the morning to make sure that we were actually doing work because, you know, we can't trust people to work from home. The company wasn't the only company that was guilty of that. Everyone did that at the start. Well, most companies did. And so I'd be getting up and I'd be in front of this screen and then, you know, the manager that my manager reports to was just one of those annoying managers that sat there on meetings and didn't actually contribute anything, but would watch everyone and then send messages to my boss. And then I got pulled up and told off. And I was like, Melissa, you look tired in meetings. You know,
this is through Zoom.
Microsoft Teams. You don't look like you're happy being here and rah, rah, rah. And I'm like, you know me. You know I'm not a morning person, and you're penalizing me for not being a morning person. They're like, well, what happens if a customer called you at that time of day? Well, you know, customers don't usually call that time of day, and if they do, I wait till after 9 o'clock to call them back, and that's a usual business hour. But then, you know, I got bollocked, and then it got brought up several times after that, and I had to make sure that the next meeting I was like all ready to go. And as a consequence, like something happened and I went to bed and I ended up waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And because I'd been awake for 4 hours, oh, look at you, Melissa, weren't you chipper? And then, you know, I actually said to my boss, I have sleeping problems, right? Like I've got an actual disorder. And, you know,
what did he say?
Well, he said, do we need to speak about this, Melissa? Are you safe to drive a car? Do we need to speak to your doctor? Do we need to get you a fit to work? And it's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. If people have disorders, right, work's supposed to not discriminate against them, yeah?
Yeah.
But his reasoning was, oh, well, you drive a company vehicle. And I said, I've had this the whole time that I have worked for you. Why are you suddenly asking me now whether I can drive a vehicle or not?
Cause I can't sleep without you. No, I don't want to dream about you. Wish I had my arms wrapped around you. It's only love. I've been out for 2 days. Tylenol PM ain't working. Losing track of time, babe. That you would come back. Insomnia. I can't.
Keep on hoping to find you, reaching in between the sheets. Maybe it's only been one night, feel like it's been like a week. Tossing and turning, flipping the pill, pulling the curtains.
I got
insomnia, cause I can't sleep without you. No, I don't want to dream about you. Wish I had my arms wrapped around you.
Insomnia,
cause I can't sleep without you. No, I don't want to dream about you. Wish I had my arms wrapped around you.
Insomnia.
I can hear your voice now, keeping me awake till morning. Can see you with the lights out.
Keep on hoping to find you, reaching in between the sheets. Maybe it's only been one night, feel like it's been like a week. Tossing and turning, tossing and turning, flipping the pill, pulling the curtains.
Oh my God,
if you've just joined us, I'm talking with Melissa Grima, our correspondent in Melbourne, and we're talking about sleep disorders. I just want to mention some stats here, because most of our listeners are in Australia, the UK and America. In Australia, close to 60% of Australian adults show at least one sleep disorder symptom, of which 14.8% of Australians have definite symptoms of insomnia. And it's interesting because, you know, I mentioned that a lot of people do not understand this condition, as would be the case of your boss. Do you think having sleep disorders is still taboo? Like, what do your friends say? Do they understand you?
It's really frustrating, Henry, because people, like, I don't exercise, right? And, you know, I'm overweight, and people look at me and they go, oh, you got to exercise, Melissa. Oh, Melissa, you've got to do yoga. Oh, Melissa, you should do meditation. Oh, don't drink coffee. Okay, I don't drink coffee. I do drink tea, right? But in times of my life where I haven't had access to any tea, like when I lived in Southeast Asia and I wasn't sitting at home drinking copious cups of tea, my sleep was the same. When I have had periods where I've exercised and I've been jogging every day at lunchtime, makes no difference on my sleep. I can't meditate. Half the reason why I can't sleep is because I can't shut my brain down. I've got that in addition to the
meditation. I so identify with you. You know, people ask me why I can't read books. I haven't got the attention span. And it's all related to being a hyper person, which I am, and I think you probably are as well. I just want to.
Sleep psychologist asked me a few questions, and he said, "You are hyper. I don't have attention deficit disorder, but I am hyper. So that my brain not being able to switch off, along with my circadian rhythms being out, contribute to me not being able to sleep until late."
Can I just ask you about circadian rhythms? Because you did mention it earlier on. What exactly is that?
Oh, you're asking the wrong person. This is why.
Told you've got them.
Yeah. Circadian rhythms, right? They give me a second.
Yeah, take your time.
You can cut this out, right?
I'm just interested to know because doctors and specialists have a big habit of telling people that they've got these things, but they don't quite explain what they are. And it sounds, I mean, it sounds like a tempo thing in terms in your brain. I'm just wondering, you know, if it's like chakras, if they're kind of out of sync, which is a spiritual thing, of course.
Circadian rhythms are physical, mental, and behavioral changes that follow a 24-hour cycle. These natural processes respond primarily to light and dark and affect most living things, including animals, plants, and microbes. Okay? So,
yes.
What's happening with me is the doctor wants to give me melatonin to help with my circadian rhythms, right?
So it's a common thing, yeah.
Circadian rhythms are 24-hour cycles that are part of the body's internal clock, running in the background to carry out essential functions and processing. Mm. One of the most important and well-known circadian rhythm is the sleep-wake cycle.
Have you tried melatonin before? I'm thinking you probably have.
I have tried melatonin before. It
takes a couple of weeks to kick in, according to Adam.
Well, it didn't work for me, but he's prescribed me with something or other, and I can't get it from a regular pharmacy. I have to go to a compound pharmacy because they have to make this especially for me.
Yes. Is that right? It's tailor-made.
Well, this one, they've got to go and pound and do it in the back. So he's given me a syrup. Right, so I need to take five meals at 9 p.m. At 7 p.m. And then one meal before bed.
This is not natural stuff, is it?
It's supposed to help you with the light.
Yeah, I'm just wondering because, you know, I would go to a chemist and I'd say, you know, I need sleeping pills, which, by the way, I do not take. And they would say, do you want the natural ones? And I go, no, they just don't work. So I got the chemical ones, as I call them. And about 2 months, two months ago, I did get these pills and I took one. And in the morning, I had a nosebleed. I thought, what the hell is this about? I don't know if it was related. I think it was because I haven't had a nosebleed since I was a child, and I just don't take them, you know.
Wow. So it says here, circadian rhythms coordinate mental and physical systems throughout the body. The digestive system produces proteins to match the typical timing of meals, and the endocrine system regulates hormones to suit natural energy expenditure.
I wonder, you know, our listeners, you know, as I say, this is underrated, this condition of having a sleep disorder, insomnia being the main one. And a lot of people are linking this to depression. Do you have any form of depression at all?
No, if I do, it's quite mild. Like I've spoken to doctors, and I don't tick enough boxes for depression or anxiety. So it's there, but not... like it's not obvious, if that makes sense.
I'm
kind of like borderline for everything. But you know, it's really hard because, you know, last week on Sunday and Monday night I took these Seroquel tablets and I was a zombie, and so I took half on Sunday night, and then on Monday night I took a quarter. But then you wake up in the daytime and you feel like a zombie. You don't feel relaxed. You don't feel like you've had a good night's sleep. So I'm like, why take them? On Wednesday, I had to be in the office by 9 o'clock in the morning. And so I didn't take anything. But then that day, I didn't fall asleep naturally until 5:30, right? So 5:30 a.m. I fell asleep. And then I had to get up by 7 o'clock to get myself to the office. So I get myself to the office and this girl sits there and goes, oh, you know, I couldn't sleep really well last night. It was horrible. And I go, well, what time do you normally go to bed? And she goes, 9:30. And I swear I wanted to punch her in the face. Not
yes.
That I did. But I thought, don't talk to me about your normal bedtime being 9:30. You know.
But this is what I would say, Melissa. People, I guess I kind of understand where they're coming from, because these people who go to sleep go to bed and go, my girlfriend does. She goes to sleep at 9:30 and she falls asleep straight away. She could sleep in the middle of a friggin' hurricane. And I'm so jealous, you know. And I think a lot of people do not understand people who can't sleep. And I asked you about your friends earlier on. You know, when you go out, let's say, to a club or whatever, and you come home and you, let's say, have to work the next day, do you have this sense of fear? I mean, when you, the reason I mentioned going out to a club is because it's a hyperactivity, you know, and that probably doesn't help with your sleeping. I have this terrible fear of going to bed because I think it's going to, for me, I might fall asleep, but I might not. Just like you, your situation is where you may not get to sleep till four. That happens to me as well. And it's, I have an innate fear of going to bed because I know I've got this huge thing to do, and that is to get to sleep.
So I have something similar. I don't like going to bed. Like if I had a choice, I wouldn't go to bed till 3 or 4 in the morning, and that's a problem. But then what I find now is that because I don't want to go to bed, like you said, and just stare at the wall and toss and turn and whatever, right? I try and drag it out so I'm really tired by the time I get to bed, but it doesn't make a difference, and I hate just lying there.
It's
so frustrating.
Yeah, oh, look, you don't need to tell me. And as I said, many of our listeners around the world are listening to this and going, yep, I understand this. Okay, we're going to take a music break and we'll be back in about 3.5 minutes.
3 o'clock in the morning, and it looks like it's going to be another sleepless night. I've been listening to your dreams and getting very low. Wondering what I can do. Maybe I'm being foolish, 'cause I haven't heard you mention anybody's name at all. How I wish I could be sure it's me that turned you on. Each time you close your eyes, I've heard it said that dreamers never lie. You've been talking in your sleep, sleeping in your dreams with some sweet lover, holding on so tight, loving her the way you talking in your sleep with loving on your mind. Maybe I'm being foolish, 'cause I haven't heard you mention anybody's name at all. How I wish I could be sure it's me that turned you on. Each time you close your eyes, I've heard it said that dreamers never lie. You've been talking in your sleep, sleeping in your dreams with some sweet lover. On your mind, you've been talking in your sleep.
You're a good friend around the planet on iTunes International.
You're listening to Bondi Tunes International, broadcasting around the world, and we have our listeners in Australia and New Zealand on FM. Melissa Grima joins me from Melbourne, and our subject is sleep disorders. Just want to mention a couple of more stats, if I can. In Britain, 22% of people in the UK struggle to fall asleep every single night. Further 15% struggle to fall asleep at least once a week. NHS, the health service in the UK, prescribes for melatonin. Now, the prescriptions for melatonin rose by 148% from June 2014 to May 2019. In May 2019, the NHS issued 87,990 prescriptions for melatonin at the cost to the NHS of £2.6 million. I mean, that's a lot of money. But what's interesting about this is the rise of people getting prescriptions for melatonin rising by 148%. It does say something about society. And my question to you is, do you think our living style, our lifestyle, and pressures of living in this era is connected with sleep disorders?
Okay, so I'm not an expert, but any doctor or sleep specialist will tell you to get off a device an hour before you go to bed. Now, I've had this issue before we had laptops and mobile phones, so I don't think that contributes to me, but if there was a rise between 2014 and 2019, our reliance on devices could have, could be contributing to that, because you're on your phone and there's all this artificial light that's just being beamed in your face, hence the melatonin to counteract that.
Yeah, it's a very, very good point you make. A lot of, you know, it can be confusing to say that people have a sleep disorder when, in fact, especially teenagers in their bedrooms, are on their phones and the kind of stuff they're doing on their phones, like, you know, on these social media apps that really make you, like, they're trying to get likes on, you know, Instagram or whatever, and that's like really high maintenance stuff for your brain when you're supposed to be going to sleep.
Yes, so you shouldn't have any devices on for an hour before bed. Mm. And they recommend you wearing light glasses, that they're an orange color, because then that dulls the things that you're watching, like the light coming from the TV or from your screen. So there's no doubt that screen use is contributing to that heavily, I believe.
Yeah.
But also, Henry, sorry, we've got so many more preservatives and junk in our food.
Good point. And that's to affect, everything, really, about your body and your mind.
Yes, I think so. But then what do I know? Again, I'm not a doctor, but I think it's a combination of, more preservatives, more additives, and reliance on screens.
Yeah, and you mentioned the glasses. You know, the thing is, they should just turn the damn thing off. You know, it's just we don't have a long term understanding of how these screens are affecting young people, and I guess this is another story for another day. I just want to mention some things, some advice, and some of it's so obvious, and some of it I really don't buy into. This is from the internet somewhere. Oh, it's from a website called Relaxation Techniques. Go figure. Try to go to bed and wake up at the same time each day. To me, that's useless. Telling people, that's ridiculous. And another thing is, don't look at the time all the time. But you can't help it if you've got to be up at a certain time in the morning. Spend the right amount of time in bed. Most people should not stay in bed for more than 8.5 hours. Staying in bed for longer can lead to fragmented sleep. Again, useless for people who have insomnia. Make sure the bedroom is comfortable. It should be quiet and dark with good temperature control. Cut out caffeine, nicotine, and alcohol, or at least reduce them, or limit coffee to mornings only. Talk to your doctor about whether your prescription medicines may be contributing to the insomnia, and get regular exercise, but not in the evening. I find this is all about, dealing with insomnia, and none of this stuff is like looking down at the person suffering from insomnia and telling them stuff that they can't do. You know what I mean?
I mean, I can go to bed at 10.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and you won't sleep.
I'm going to sleep.
Exactly.
Yeah, and there's nothing more frustrating than you know, there'll be a certain amount of time where I'll just get up. It's really hard to sleep when you're hungry. I don't know if you find that, Henry.
Oh, you know, food doesn't bother me. I'm not a food person, as you know. Just a couple of more things. A good question for you. Not that you can afford to do this because you're working during the day. Another bit of advice is to avoid daytime naps. I understand that. That's a good idea to avoid daytime naps because that completely throws you off for sleeping at night.
Well, I don't know. Like the Mediterraneans have, I think they've siestas. Got quite idea. They've got siestas. I think that would work for me. You know, okay. I don't. But then again, they go to bed after midnight and they wake up and go start work at 7. But then they know they can have a nap in the afternoon.
Yeah, and that's probably quite healthy, I think. But for me, I'd wake up all groggy and then I'd be, you know, eventually. Tea is amazing, by the way, if you sleep during the day. Tea really helps you if you're groggy when you wake up. But it would probably compound my inability to sleep at night.
But, you know, Henry, I've had to have naps during the day while I've been working before. Mm. I had an office job and there'd be times when I couldn't keep my eyes open and we literally got half an hour for lunch. And so I would go to my car and I would sleep in the back seat of my car and put a timer for 25 minutes and I'd have a 25-minute nap in the back seat.
Wow. That's full on.
Yeah. And that wasn't daily, but I would have to do that. To manage. And then some offices now have quiet rooms where you can go in and lie down and have a nap. You know, I've had to
find
areas where I can just hide from people and have a power nap, you know, and it's helped me because, again, depending on how much sleep I've had that evening.
I've read information on this that suggests that if you can't sleep, get up and do something, not much, some quiet activity, on, you know, rather than just trying to sleep. It's a very painful thing, dear listener, trying to sleep if you've got insomnia. It's actually feels painful. And the suggestion is that what I'm reading here, and I've heard about this before, if you cannot sleep, go to another room and do a quiet activity until you feel tired again and then try again. And I think that's probably a good idea. Would you agree?
Yes, I've been told that there are times when I'll get so frustrated I just get up and, I don't know, I'll normally watch TV for half an hour, which is probably not a good idea. But then sometimes I'll go and read. You know, if I'm really, really hungry and I'm just desperate, I'll boil an egg or something and put something in my belly and then I'll try again.
Yep. I do think that helps to actually eat something. It just kind of tires you out a little bit, hopefully. Yes. What do you do now? I just, you know, when I go to bed, I do a lot of editing, obviously, because I'm a broadcaster, I'm interviewing people like you, and I do a lot of editing. And the problem is that I'm so hyper, and that's a problem. There's the advice from medical experts on this subject is to do something relaxing before bed. What do you do before you go to bed?
I usually watch television. So I kind of have a routine where I go, I wash my face, brush my teeth, and then I come and I sit down and then I do my face routine at night. So I've got, you know, various creams that I put on and I do that. And all my creams are next to my couch because I don't have a TV in my bedroom. And so I spend half an hour just doing my face. It doesn't take me that long, but I'll do that before bed and then I'll go to bed. But if I'm like, it's bad too, because if I'm watching a really great series and it's on, you know, one of the streaming services, I'll just watch the next episode. And it's 1 o'clock in the morning and I'm not helping myself. But at the same time, I don't feel tired to drag myself off to bed. Mm. It's really hard to manage, as you know, Henry.
Mm. Yeah. I do know indeed. And of course, with the advent of the likes of Apple TV and Netflix and all the others, Stan in Australia, there is a sense to binge on stuff, and that probably wouldn't help the situation.
There is one called Binge. There you go.
Is there really?
Yes.
Oh, I saw an ad for that, actually. Yes.
You need to do it.
You know what I find when I'm trying to go to sleep at night is that I worry about, you know, stuff that worries you during the day, worries me at night when I'm trying to sleep. And I'm thinking, you know, in my case, they want to convert my apartment block from company title to strata. I won't go into the details of that, but it means an awful lot of work. We may have to move out of the flat, stuff like that. And I can't, my mind is racing along, worrying about this stuff. Do you worry about stuff when you're trying to sleep?
Yes, I'll give you a great example. I was tour guiding in Tunisia and we were doing a 3-day camel trek through the Sahara Desert. And I gave up my camel by about 11 o'clock in the morning on day one. So I'd given him a good 2 hours and I was so uncomfortable with the camel that I walked through the desert. And, you know, we hit a sandstorm. And, you know, walking through the desert, walking through sand, it's quite tiring.
Sure is.
We set up camp for the night, and I know it's not comfortable sleeping. Well, a lot of people love camping, but I'm there. You know, there's a Scottish woman who's snoring so heavy she sounds like a freight train, right? But I should be tired after this whole day trekking through the desert, right?
Yeah.
I sleep, and so my mind just goes for a walk through the filing cabinets, right? And it just thinks, okay, what are we going to – which file are we going to walk through this evening, Melissa? Oh, okay. And just started thinking about stuff that happened to me when I was 8. And it was nothing traumatic, you know, but I just – you know, I started thinking about when I was 8 years old and I used to do dancing and I always felt really I felt intimidated by the girls that I in my dance class because they were all wealthier than me and they were better dancers, right?
Yeah.
I'm in the Sahara Desert at the age of like 30 thinking about this when I was, you know, 8 years old. What's that got to do with where I am? But my mind had to go somewhere, Henry, and that's where it went.
For all the wrong reasons, oh, time to end the pain. But he sleep all day, sleep all, we sleep all day over. Why don't we sleep all, we sleep all day, sleep all, we sleep all day over. She said, what would your mother think, oh Lord, is how would your father react to war? Would he take it all back? Would they ever die? And away they said, take it, he said, make it with your own two hands. That was my old man, and he said, if all is grounded, you should go make a mountain out of it. Lovely day to have a slice of humble pie. Oh, recalling of a while we used to drive and drive here and there, going nowhere but for us, nowhere but the two of us. And we knew it was time to take a chance here, in time to compromise our lives just a little while. And it was time for all the but time is open, I'll hold my side, but I'll give it to you tonight. And we sleep all day, sleep all day over. Oh, why don't we sleep all day, we sleep all day over and over again. And as the time goes by, we get a little bit tired of waking and baked another Marlboro mile.
on the run in the time and the hot summer sun to swim beneath over outside, still reading between the lines. But they remember the part in a Hallmark card where they read about the dreams and they're reaching for the stars to hold on a little bit closer to. Who's it they knew there was time, time to take a take love, time to take a chance here, time to compromise, to occupy the lies. And here there was time for all the wrong reasons. Oh, but all time is off and I'm on my side, but I'll give it to you. Oh boy, sleep all we sleep all day, sleep all we sleep all day. Over, okay, so why don't we sleep all we sleep all day, sleep all we sleep all day. Over.
I just want to mention a stat here that is important to mention. Depression, as I mentioned earlier on, is heavily linked to insomnia, with up to 90% of depression patients developing insomnia. I always thought insomnia was just something was built into your system, but it's interesting that another condition can create insomnia. In fact, it's not that surprising when you think about it, depression. And I think that's a bit of a sad thing. And, you know, it's just a fact of life, I guess. A quick mention of more stats if you're listening in America. Insomnia is the most common sleep disorder. Indeed it is. According to the latest data from the American Sleep Association, they've got an American Sleep Association, insomnia affects between 50 and 70 million Americans each year. It's so widespread that symptoms of insomnia occur in approximately 33 to 50% of the adult population in America. Why is this not been getting more media, more attention? And as I said earlier on, it seems to be kind of taboo. People don't want to talk about it. You have done a remarkable thing. And by the way, if you've just joined us, I'm talking with Melissa Grima in Melbourne, our correspondent there, and we're talking about sleep disorders. You've been very active with this because you've twice gone to specialists. You've spent time overnight being tested, and you've gone to another place later, which cost a lot of money. You got some of that money back. Do you think that a lot of people would not go where you've gone? And my other question to you is, was it worth it?
The thing is, you need to get someone that's going to listen to you. So I've got a doctor that gives me Valium, and I know that I can't overuse it because he won't prescribe it to me if I say, you know, go through a pack in a short space of time, right? Mm. But then I went and spoke to a therapist, and she said, Melissa, you sound like you've got delayed sleep disorder. Go to your GP and ask for a referral, right? And I just went, oh my goodness, someone's listening to me, finally.
Yes.
And to be told you've got a delayed sleep disorder and there's an actual name for what I have, even if we can't do anything to fix it, the relief I felt knowing that there's a name for what I have and it is an actual thing. And now whenever my friends go rah, 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 I'm like, I have a disorder, okay? Mm. Like, it's not my fault. So I feel a lot of relief in that. But, you know, like...
Yes, the beast has been given a name.
Yeah, and that makes me feel vindicated, you know. Like last week when I was at work that day when I only slept for about an hour and a half, you know, this guy goes, "You look tired, Melissa." And I go, "That's because I am." And it's almost like it's like they're accusing you of something.
Yes, there's a sense that they think that you're lesser of a person if you can't contribute to the job. And this is where we talked about this at the start of this broadcast, but my feeling is that they just don't get it, and they can't accept it. And for them, especially in business, if you've got in the case of your boss, for them it's all about productivity and making money. And, you know, the whole idea is to look after your employees. And because if you don't look after your employees, they won't do a good job. Isn't that fair to say?
No, it definitely is. I just wish there was a bit more understanding around, you know, why people are tired. It's not because I'm partying all night, especially not at my age, you know. there's like, it's almost like people make you feel guilty.
Yes.
Tired. And, you know, I had one boss, he was so annoying, and I go, "I'm not a morning person." "Well, you can become one. Can you just bugger off? Because no, I can't. I can't become a morning person. That's not who I am." And when I was tool leaning, I'd have to say to my groups, "Listen, I'm not a morning person. So if you see me in the morning and I'm sitting by myself having breakfast and I don't talk to you, don't take it the wrong way. I just need time to get up," right? And in some tours, they really noticed it, and others, they like, "You were fine, Melissa." But one of my passengers said to me once, she goes, "I notice you, Melissa. You come around by about 11, and then you're this big ball of energy for the whole day, whereas I've got all this energy in the morning, but I'm done by 3 p.m., and then I'm on your energy at 3 to keep me going."
Yeah, it's really interesting. My girlfriend, Caroline, she is very much a morning person. And whether I have insomnia or not, well, I do have insomnia, but even if I didn't, I wouldn't be. I'm nocturnal. I'm absolutely nocturnal. Yes. It doesn't matter whether I've got insomnia or not. I'm a nighttime person. And, you know, we've been together 28 years. And it's not a problem because she doesn't mind. She gets all the stuff done in the morning, and I'm not in her way. And I get all my editing and everything else that I do late at night, and she's not there. She's asleep in the bedroom. So it actually works very well. I wanted to ask you about partnerships and how this would affect you if you've got a partner and you're living with them, or if you have, what experiences you would have had with your sleep disorder.
So I've got a friend, Rachel, and we're very similar in a lot of ways. And we're both night owls. We're both single. So we'll go out together till 6 in the morning.
Oh, really?
And it's just, like, a lot of my friends don't want to invite me to stuff because they know that I go out late.
Mm.
So Rachel and I are good buddies in that respect, but we also travel well together because we naturally go to bed around the same time and then we naturally wake up around the same time, right? And it's kind of this unspoken thing between us. And we're in Mexico together and a friend joined us for a few days, and she'd be up in the morning sitting waiting around for us to get up because we didn't wake up early. But then she'd want to go to bed and we were wide awake. So it's good that I found someone to travel with me that has similar sleep patterns, because it makes all the difference, you know. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Sorry, I was going to say, it's interesting what people do to try and get to sleep. I was a pretty heavy drinker for a while. I would drink a bottle of wine, a bottle and a half of wine. And then I stopped that because I realized that's not very healthy. And that was in order to get to sleep. So what I do these days is I don't drink until 11 o'clock at night. And when I do drink, I have 1.5 glasses of wine. Not more than 1.5, not less than 1.5, exactly 1.5. And that's enough to get me to sleep, at least get me to sleep for a while. And then I'll wake up every two hours after that. Do you use alcohol at all to get to sleep?
No, I try not to drink during the week because if I go out, I drink like on a Saturday night or something, I'll drink you know, probably like the recommended weekly amount in one evening. I try not to, because then I find that I don't sleep well if I drink.
Mm. It's interesting because the quality of sleep definitely is you know, diminished, let's say. You're not getting good sleep. Since I switched to just having my, you know, glass and a half of wine before I go to sleep, I sleep less, but the quality of sleep is a lot better. And that's important, isn't it?
And it's red wine, right?
It's red wine, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe I should try that, Henry, just a glass and a half of red wine in an evening, because I don't drink red wine, and it's because it does make me sleepy. So maybe I should try that, Henry.
Whoa, there's an idea. Do you know Margaret Thatcher had a glass of whiskey every night before she went to sleep, religiously?
A glass or just a nip?
I really don't know. I don't understand spirits. I never drink them. Maybe it's a nip. I don't know.
Yes.
We've got to go soon. I would just ask you, because a lot of our listeners will be very interested in this interview, because they will, as we've done the percentages on this in Britain, America and Australia. And so there's a lot of people in our position. And what would you advise them? I know you're not a specialist, but just as someone who is a fellow sufferer, what would you say to them if they are kind of feeling a bit lost? You've done some professional stuff. You've gone to two clinics or two sets of people. What would you say to them?
I would say that I wouldn't say that there's hope, because that just sounds that's not the right word.
Do you think that they should be sort of try and get a positive attitude to it?
It's hard to be positive when you haven't slept, Henry. You know that.
I know. You have to be realistic about this stuff. It's just hard to advise people, you know.
Look, I would say if you've got bad sleep and you can go and speak to a specialist about it. I'm trying to help myself. But, you know, it means changing my habits, and it's difficult because I've been given another medication now to try, which is called Clondine, right? Mm-hmm. But it's making me ditzy the next day. So, you know, I think that if I really wanted to effect some change, what I need to do is take 2 weeks off work and just concentrate on my sleep for 2 weeks. But, of course, that's not easy for any of us to do. You really need to try and change your sleeping habits, and that's a very difficult thing because, you know, I'm single. I like to go out on the weekend. I can't go to bed the same time every night, 7 days a week. It's just not going to happen because I need to live my life. But maybe, you know, I need to dedicate 2 weeks of my time to that. So I would say to others, if you find yourself in similar situations to me, do some reading up on delayed sleep disorder. Maybe speak to a specialist if you get the chance, because they may be able to help you. And even if they don't, they may validate how you feel and what you're going through. And that's made a huge difference to me.
Okay.
Well, I'd say one more thing, Henry.
Yes, sure.
Interrupt you. If you are a parent, please be kind to your child.
Yes.
And put them to bed early and get them into this routine, so when they become older, they don't suffer like we're suffering.
And it's a very good point. And, you know, you can't really grab the phone off your child, I'm guessing. I don't know. But, you know,
households there where, you know, at a certain time, say 8 o'clock, all devices go in a box and they get given back to them in the morning. So, you know, I just think it's important to have good sleep hygiene, and that starts from a young age.
Absolutely, and it's funny you use that term, because it is very common. It's up on my notes here, sleep hygiene.
Yes.
And it's a whole new term, isn't it? Melissa, thank you so much for joining me and spending so much time talking about it. It's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Thank you so much. It's a great topic, and I'm glad that you're discussing it.
That's Melissa Greamer in Melbourne. This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Real Radio.
Henry O'Donovan.